Okay, so we're continuing with the sugya of Yehush Lamidat, Klokas Abai Verovo. If one, at the time that they pick up the Avedah, the Balim are not aware of it, and since they're not aware of it, obviously there is no Yehush. But later on, when they do find out of it, it's likely that they will have Yehush. Then the question is, what's the status of that Avedah when you pick it up? Abai believes that you do not have Lavi Yehush. It's not classified as Yehush. Rava, on the other hand, believes that it is Yehush, that's sufficient. The question about why or what the reasons behind their opinions are, Rava, who says it is Yehush, right, it's one of two possibilities what Rava's opinion is. Rava's opinion is either because when he does find out about it, he will be Miyayesh, meaning that our assumption is since when he finds out about it, he will be Miyayesh. The Mafreya, we assume that Yehush existed from the time he lost it. The other possibility in Rava's position is that Stam, in these instances, people are miyayish, so we assign to you that form of yayush. Obviously, not committed between those reasons would be if the person never finds out about it. If he never finds out about it, it's still classified as yayush, right? And classify miyayush lo yada. So does Rava eventually need you to reach a point of yayush that will be assigned to you the mafreya? Right? Abayu, on the other hand, believes one of two possibilities, that either yayush has to be befoa, meaning that it's not yayush until there is yayush. And just because in theory or theoretically there is a Yehushu, that's not sufficient. Or Abaye could believe that over here there's not even a theoretical Yehush, because we just don't know what people are going to do. Different people have, it's a subjective issue, different people act differently with regards to or towards Avedot. They might try harder, they may look more, and therefore we don't even know whether what the person is thinking at all. So therefore there's no Yehushu here. So the Gemara has been presenting, mostly in this Amud Bet, you presented our Mishnah, and questions to each of their opinions. So the Gemara is now continuing with questions on their opinions. So far, the Gemara's focus, or generally the questions, have been on Abaye. Today we'll see some questions that move over to Rava as well. So Tashma, the bottom of Chof Alam Medved, Haganav, Shantal Mizev Natan Lezeh, Haganav picks up something, takes it from one individual, gives it to the next. Right, Gazlan, Shantal Mizev Natan Lezeh, picks up from one, gives it to another. Chen Yardin, Yardin, not anything particular about the Yardin, but this town I happen to live next to the Yarden, so that was the river that he used as an example. But the river Shnatal Mizev Natan Lezeh gives one to the next. Mashnatal Natal Mashnatan Natan. What's done is done, basically. The fact that he moved the property from one to the next, that is done. So Mar says Bishlam of Gazlan Yarden the Kachaziluhu Umiyayish. Okay, for Abaye you can explain Gazlan and Yarden because those are things that happen right in front of your face. Assuming here that Gazlan means someone who robs in broad daylight, right? We'll take it from you. And the Yardain, which the river is overflowing, a person is aware of, he can see what's happening. So these are things that are both visible to the Balim. Since they're visible to the Balim, then there is Yeyush, right? An instant Yeyush, according to Abai. Umiyayish. Hello, Ganav, Mikachazile. Ganav, right? Assuming that Ganav, right, is something that's not visible. Ganav does it at night, does it through a sneaky way that he's moving it. Then the Balim are not aware of the fact that it's moved. Right? So now, the Miyayish. So over here, he's not going to see it. And then how can it be Miyayish, according to Abaye? So Targum HaRav Papa, Belisti Mizuyin. This is an answer we saw many times in Bava Kama. We're talking about Ganav, we're talking about Listi Mizuyin here. So where it says, what's the difference? If you have Listi Mizuyin, then you have Gazlan. Gazlan is someone who robs by broad daylight, who's not afraid of being caught, or not afraid of people. So that's what Listi Mizuyin is, just a manifestation or subcategory of that. It says, it's true, Trey Gavne, the Gazlan, there are two types of Gazlanim. They're armed Gazlanim, and they are regular Gazlanim. Again, the Gemara Baba Kama used this answer in a number of places. And Tashma, next case, Shataf, Na'ar, Kurav, Itzav, Avanav. So the guy was about to embark on a building project. So he has wood, his beams there, he has Avanim, he has stones, he's got all his equipment that he's ready to work with. So the Nahar overflows, the river overflows, and washes down all this tziyud, right, all this equipment and materials that he has ready for his building, and washes it down to his friend's field. Harielu Shalo, these are his. Now, Rashi's gear says, Mipnei Shiniti Ashua Balim, because the Balim certainly had Yehush. And the other part of Eretosus has a gear that is, Im Niti Ashua Balim, if the Balim are Niti Aish. Then it would be true. Now Gemara says they're dealing with what the Gemara's deal is here, and talks with some questions on Rashi's gear, so therefore he changes it. It's very technical, but just so you're aware that there are two gears. So Gemara says, "Taima, did Yashua Balim? Because what's the reason here that it works is because of Yeush Balim. Hastama, had it been right without any Yeush here, had it been without any knowledge that we had Yeush, lo. So now, who's this first question we had on Rava, right? It's a problem for Rava. Here the indications from the Gemara are that the only reason that it works over here is because we have knowledge of Yeush Balim. Without Yeush Balim, we wouldn't. But according to Rava, you don't need Yeush Balim, right? You need the fact that in the Stama, there's no Simanim here. The Shatav Nar, it should be fine. So, Akamai Skina, Shiyachol Hatzil. So, Rava says, no, it's a case where it's possible to save the object. Where it says, if it's possible to save the object, Yachayim Aseifa. What are you going to do with the second half of this, Raisa? Imayu Abalim Miratvim Akarehem. If the owners were running after the stuff, chayav lachzir, then it's clear that they haven't had yeush, and you have to give it back. So, if he could have saved the materials, if he could get it back, then what does it matter that he has to, what does he have to make an indication that he's chasing after, that he's trying to get it? If there's a possibility of saving it, that means he never had yeush. So why does he have to run to indicate he doesn't have yeush? Even if he doesn't run, it's obvious that he doesn't have yeush. Where it says, if he nami. Even without running. Again, he could save it if he really pressed. If he really pushed himself, he could save it. So, miratvin lo yayish. It's clear then if he starts to run and he makes a move for it, then he's not miyayish, because the fact that he's attempting to save it, even though it's a, you know, say it's a low percentage that he will save it, the fact that he even makes an attempt is an indication that he's not having yayish. If he didn't make the effort, then it's clear he's given up hope, because if he doesn't make the effort now, there's no way he's getting it later. So the pivotal point here is whether he does run after it or not run after, because that's an indication of whether he's actually going to have a chance at saving it or not having a chance at saving it. Alright, now, Ketoshma. Ketzad Amru, Atoreim Shalomidat, Chumato Chuma. So where is this case that we have that you can take up chuma without the permission, without the knowledge of the owners, and it'll be chuma? So what's the case? Alright, shirat toch the chaveiro. Person goes into his friend's field, velikate, and picks up stuff for him, takes it up, vitaram, shalom v'shut. And then he goes in and does chuma, takes up chuma without permission. Im choshesh mishum gezel, in chumato chuma. If he's worried that the balim will think he's a thief, or basically he's acting like a thief, or he's acting without the permission, there's no chuma here, because how could you do something on behalf of another person if they never give you permission? Bimav chumato chuma. And if not, his chuma is a good chuma. Omar says, umanayin hu yodeya. Right? How does he know? Im choshesh mishum gezel. Im lav. I mean, that you just said here, pivotal point will be whether he's a gezlan, considered or classified like a gezlan or not. You know, how do we know what the balim are thinking over here? So if the balim are maskim, they agree to the fact that his chuma is good chuma, then it's good. If they say, what are you doing in my field? What are you doing with my stuff? Then it's not good chuma. But how do we know what the balim are thinking? So, hari sheba balabait umatzo. Well, the balabait shows up and sees what he's doing. Vamarlo, klachet liyafot. What are you doing over here taking this stuff? Take the best. So now, there are two possibilities when he says take the best. There are two possibilities what that means. Imninsu yafot man, chumato chuma. If there is better produce there, then he was making an honest statement. Why are you taking this stuff? If you're taking off chuma already, take from the better stuff. Well, that's what is that? That means it's an acquiescence to what the action of this individual is. And then he says, you know, had you done this already, you may as well have done it from the better ones. So it's saying what you did is good, but you should have done better. Right. V'im lav. If there is no better stuff, then his statement is a sarcastic statement. His statement is, why don't you take from the better ones? I mean, you've taken the best. You took my best stuff to give us truma. What do you take better stuff? That's an indication that he's not interested in giving this stuff to truma, or giving this produce to truma, because right, he's saying generally people do not give their best stuff to their best produce to truma. They give benoni, that which is benoni. So Mert says liktu abalim vosifu alehim. On the other hand, if the balim themselves go ahead and collect it and add on to it, and they continue the process that has been begun by this individual, then ben kach or ben kach chumato chuma. It doesn't matter what he says, the balim, then it's chuma, because his actions are indicative of the fact that he classifies whatever this individual performed as to be chuma or to be sufficient, and he's continuing the process that had been done. Where it says, v'chi nimtzu yafot mehen chumato chuma. Why should it be when we find out that there's better stuff that is chuma? Am I? Be'idna de Taram, Olo Ve'yodo. At the time that he's taking off the Truma, the Balim are not aware of the fact that he's taking off Truma. So this would be a question for Abaye. Right? Abaye who says, here, Abaye Shalom Idah. Abaye Shalom Idah, he says that even though when the Balim find out they are Me'ayesh, nevertheless, we don't say now, in the current state, that there is Yeush from the Balim because they're unaware. If that's the case, might Truma be the same thing. If we only become aware later on that the Balim are Maskim, why should that have any implications to the fact that when you took it off, that it was valid Truma? According to Rava, it's less of an issue. According to Rava, Vayesh Melomidat, right, he says that if we find out later on that the Balim are Meyesh, that's indicative that there would have been Meyesh all along, that there is Yeush from the moment that it's lost. It's just that they're lacking the dot that will transform it into Yeush. So it's also over here. The Truma that you did, from the time you took it off, is Truma as long as the Balim, once they maskim to it, that means from the moment it was taken off, it was already Truma. So by its basis, the problem with this, Mishnah.
I think there's a price. First case, it's not referring to something you lose, it's like a mitzvah. Like all the other cases, things that you lose. It's like the first case of something that you give up, but it's a mitzvah. So how does this difference mean? I mean,
right, so that's true. The Gemara is going to say what you're saying. Or it's not. The Gemara is actually going to make such a differentiation. In that case, and we'll see later on, the Gemara is going to actually make the distinction that you're making or drawing right now, David. Alright, so now, the Gemara says, Hagama Rava, I'll leave it there by, Rava answered on behalf of Abaya, to Shav Yishliach. Says that it has to be a case where he made him into a Shliach. And that the Balim appointed him a Shliach. Hakanami Misdabro, that makes sense. The Saka that lo Shav Yishliach, if he didn't make him into an agent on his behalf, Miyavi Trumato Truma. But does it work? Without being an agent, can you make Truma for someone else? Why? Baha Atem, Gamatem, Amarachman, are both Shluchachem. That how do we know by Truma that a Shliach works? Because of the Pasuk of Gamatem. Right, so Gamatem says, you, your Shlichim, your agents, can only be just like you. Ma Atem Lidatchem. Just like you can only be Mafish Truma. With knowledge, with, right, intent. So too, Akshachem Lidatchem has to be with your knowledge, with your intent that they're given. So Shlich, the only way to be Mafish Truma is if you're aware of the fact that he's taken off on your behalf. Elohacha b'mayiskinan. Right, so it must be the case is going to Shavi or Shliach. Well, Shavi or Shliach, then what's the question over here? Why does it matter? Varmalei Zil Turom says to him, go take off Truma. Velo Amalei Trom Mehani. And he didn't say from these particular ones. Right, Ustame Dabal Bait, Kitarom, even in Uyitu Turom. So when he takes off, he generally takes off from the, you know, the middle, from the median, quality stuff, produce. And this guy went ahead and took from the best. And then the Balabai comes and finds what he did. What are you doing taking off from this stuff? Take from the best. So then again, if he finds out that there's better stuff there, then we say Chumato Chuma. Why? Because then it means that that's what he's saying basically is you should have done better. Why are you just taking off from this medium stuff? He's making an honest statement here, which is indicative of the fact that he is, again, approving of what the Shliach did. Bimlav, if there is nothing better, Trumato, ain't Trumato Truma, because he's basically saying to the agent, right, I don't need this type of help. Right, this is not what I want. I don't want to give away my best stuff to the Truma, I want to give away my Benonit to the Truma. So why is it? So therefore he's almost nullifying the agency. He's saying that I don't need a Shliach like this. So now the question, which Tosis asked, which is something that you brought up, Tosis asks, we have this case in another instance, which is, what happens if a shliach, or an individual, goes and mafrish truma for a balabayit, and we know that truma comes in three categories. The possibility, the percentage that you take off is either 1/40th, 1/50th, and 1/60th. So then, if the shliach took off, we assume the shliach should take off 1/50th, 2%, which is the benonit, because that everybody would be, in general, we might scheme to. If the shliach went ahead and took off 1/40th and 1/60th, and the Balim go and say, what'd you do? Why'd you take off this amount? We say, Trumato, Truma. Why? Because the Shliach can say, Ani amarati lacha. This is what I thought you would have done. Right? I thought you would have done. Since he's still within the framework which the Chachamim established for Truma, he's not considered out of bounds. Since he's not considered out of bounds, his Truma is good Truma. So Tosa says over here, why don't we say the same thing? Meaning that if he appointed him a Shliach to do the Truma, and all of these categories are valid forms of Truma, why don't we say, right, that the category, or just like 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, that's what I thought you would do. You can say the same thing over here. I thought you would give from the best. I always made you that you're the type of guy that wants to be generous and wants to give the best. So why didn't that qualify him to be already a good Truma? Why are we worried about what the Balim say afterwards? Why should it matter? Just like by 140th, 150th, 160th, you don't worry what the Balaam say. So it's over here. Why don't we why don't we worry about it?
Was that Tosfos Yemesephtos ago?
What?
Did we cover that Tosfos Yemesephtos ago?
Wait, no, the Tosfos is here, although we did that discussion is in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin discusses that. That is correct. So he says Ish Lamar. Alright, so we have to say the Hatam have a kule shuir truma. When it comes to 140th, 150th, and 60th, those are all shiurim of truma. Some people do this, some people do that. Since I didn't explicitly tell you what to do, I can assess, or I made a good judgment about you. That's what it says, that when it comes to being Torain, quality, that people generally, almost nobody will take off from their Vesta. Right, the category is Benonit. It's unusual for someone to take off from the Yafot. Without permission, you can't do it. So that also distinguishes between these two types of Trumot. In one case, we're 140th, 150th, and 60th. That's all Shirei Trumah. And people are all over the map on these things. And therefore, if they don't indicate the Shliach, they can act whatever way he wants. On the other hand, when it comes to Yafot, almost nobody does that. That's considered so unusual that without indication from the Balim, you can't act. Or you can't be an agent to do this because that's not classified within the regular realm, and you need permission to do that. So that's also distinguishes between these types of issues. All right, now,
how could they compare the case of Truma to Yeush? With Yeush and Gezel, you're talking about allowing the object to leave the property of the Baal. When it comes to
it's not Gezel, it's Aveda, right?
Aveda. Okay. But you're basically you're talking about when the transfer can when the object can leave the property of the Baal. But with Truma, aren't we talking about a situation where the property remains in the hands of the Baal?
Right. So the question is not really about movement of property, it's a question about once someone acquiesces to a certain standing or that we believe we now know what they think about it. Does that mean that it's only prospectively that they think this way? Or does it even mean retroactively because the action was taken prior to this? The same thing, that's the case. The Yeush, right, we only know about the Yeush now because they only became aware of the lost object now. Now, does that Yeush mean that it's only prospective like a Baye? Or does it mean that even from the moment it was lost, that was their real dot? They didn't know to have their dot. Same thing about the Truma. The Truma, we only have knowledge about what their standing is right now because this is the first time they've seen the Truma being taken. Now, is that indicative that prospectively they think it's okay to take off Truma? Or is that also indicative of the fact that had they known about the Truma prior to this, they would also acquiesce? And the fact they would also acquiesce would be enough to make it into good Truma. So that's it. The comparison is not about, again, the object, but about this idea that the Balim's dot is the dot from this new point in time. Does that mean it's only prospectively, or it also has implications for the time prior to this?
So, I mean, I still think that this. It's a very weak, I mean, obviously it was a weak proof because Rabban himself came back and
helped to buy it. Right,
but
right.
The fact is,
right. In the end, the Gemara moves the case away from that. I mean, the Gemara moves it to a case of Shliach, which makes it a totally different, right? Hechatimsin. You're right. In the end, you're right. That's exactly what the Gemara does. The Gemara says it's just the cases don't work together because they're functioning in different ways. All right. Ameimar Umarzutra Vravashi. So, Ameimar Zutra Vravashi, Iklu, the Bustana, the Maribaristik. They went to the Bustana, which the Bustana is the Pardes. They went to the orchard of Mari Bar Yisik. They went to this orchard of Mari Bar Yisik. Aiti Arise, his sharecropper, brought to them Tamarei Rimone, but in dates and pomegranates. Bishada Kamayo, when he laid them out in front of them, Amema Ravashi Achle, they ate. Marzutra lo achil, Marzutra wasn't willing to eat. Adhochi Ata Mari Bar Yisik, then Mari Bar Yisik himself showed up. Ashkechino, Barmalela Arise, Mailoi Aiti Lehulor Abana Mehanach Shapirta, says, what are you giving them this, you know, low quality stuff? Why don't you give them from the best? You know, these Rabbanon here, special Rabbanon, you should give them from the best. Samrulei Ameima Ravashta Marzutra. So Ameima Ravashta looked at Marzutra and says, Hashta Mailo Akumar. Alright, now Marzutra, now what are you going to say now? Why aren't you partaking from this fruit? Vatanya. Don't we have the Braisa about the case of Chuma over here? Im Nitzu Yafot Mehen. Chumato chuma. If there's better quality produce, then it's obvious that his intention is to say that this is my true feelings about it. So it's over here. If Mari Bar Yisik is coming along and say, give them better quality produce, why are you giving them the low quality stuff? It's clear that he acquiesced or he agreed to what the Arisei, what the sharecropper did. Amaluhu, he said to them, Achi Amarabba. Rabbi says about this, Lo Amru Klachetzel Yafot El De Inyan Shuma Bilvad. When do we say Klachetzel Yafot means something or has indicates to us the intention of the Bala Bayit by this? Is Mishom the Mitzvah Hu Benechalet. David, this is what you were asking. Here there's a Mitzvah involved. Since there is a Mitzvah involved, and therefore in general the Bala Bayit will want the Mitzvah to be carried out. So therefore, when he makes a statement that says you should have taken from the best, right, that's indicative of the fact that he wants to do the mitzvah, and he wants to do the mitzvah in the best way possible. So that indication of his intention or it makes it that the truma he's taken off is truma. Aval hocha, in this case, mishum kisifutahu damar hoche. He's embarrassed, my Vizik. He doesn't want, what is he going to come in and say, oh, what are you doing giving this food to the Rabbanan? So he says to them, why don't you give him the best stuff? So now you can't assume when he says, why don't you give him the best stuff, that, and when there is better stuff, better produce, that he really meant you should have given them better produce. He's saying it, maybe even that time, he's saying it in a sarcastic manner, man, because he's embarrassed to say otherwise. He's embarrassed to say that you shouldn't have given them anything. So he says to them, almost indicating them, why did you give them the best produce? And instead of being a true statement of his feelings, right, it's really covering up for his being upset at the Arisa for doing what he did. So there's a distinction that's drawn here, and therefore Matzutra would not partake, not before he found out what Mari Yitzchak said, but even when he after what he found out what Mari Yitzchak said, he's not willing to partake of these fruits. Tosas asked over here about that. I was just going to say, from Baba Kama, we have the Gemara Baba Kama. Tosas indicates that, what about, we had a Baba Kama which says that when a Arisa gives you produce from the field, you're allowed to take it. Why? Because Mistama, he's taking it from his portion of the field, it's his percentage of the field. But Mistama, he's giving it to him. So then, if that's the case, if that's why Marzucha didn't take then, if it's from the Arisei, Arisei can give his own produce. So he says that the Arisei brought it from the Bayit. Right? So in the case of Baba Kama, we assume that he's bringing it from his own house. And then he's bringing it from his own house or his own area, his own private area, we assume that it's his own produce that he's bringing over here. Over here, when he's bringing it from the Pardes, from the orchard itself, it sounds like they haven't divided up the produce yet. They haven't divided up the percentages. So when he pulls it out, you can still say it's from his percentage, but then he'll have to later indicate to the Bala Bayit, Mar Yitzchak, that he took something and that's not in their division, he should lose something. And he was afraid, Marzucha was afraid, that later on he wouldn't indicate to the Bala Bayit, Mar Yitzchak, that he had taken that out, and he would just allow the division to go without indicating that he had already taken a percentage of the property. So that's one answer. He wasn't so meich on this guy that he would indicate to Mar Yitzchak, that he would indicate to Mar Yitzchak, or...
Well, so, and then when Rabbi Yosef comes and he says, why don't you give them from the best fruits, whose fruits is he talking about? He must be talking about his own fruits.
Right.
Right? You know, so he can't be saying to the Arisa, why didn't you give them from your best fruits?
Right.
There's no place to say that.
Right, so it's clear over here that the case is that he's giving it from the joint produce, right?
Right.
That's why the Rashba and the Ritva each have a story to say that it's even they could even take from the Bala Bayis' fruits, even if it was from the Bala Bayis' chelet, the Virur, even if we know it was. Because Ravashi knew that, according to the Ritva, Ravashi knew that he was a friend of the Chachamim, and it would be Noach Lo Latet Le Chachamim. According to the Rashba, it says because that he's not Machbid, that in their estimate, the Bala Pardes wouldn't be Machbid on that amount.
Amount of food. Right, so both of those indications also says something similar also, which is that they assumed that Mari Bayisik would want this to take place. And since we passed it like a violator on it, today we'll see. And we don't pack like a Rava. Marzucha wasn't willing to take the fact that they knew what Mar Yitzchak felt, or that later on he would give straight indication to that as being a permission to take it earlier, because he said that he wasn't willing to be so much on that fact that they were interested. Right now, our Gemara says Tashma, Odeo Atal Alehem V'Sameach. Odeo Atal Alehem V'Sameach. So what happens is the Tal, which is Jew, is one of the seven Mashkim, which are makshir and an item or produce to become makshar the kabel tum'ah. So here you have some produce that's out, and there's tal, there's dew sitting on the tal. If he's v'samach, the Bala Bayit sees the tal or the dew on this produce, he says, wonderful, that is such a nice thing. Harizeh v'chiyutan. That means that v'chiyutan, that is classified as being mukshar the kabel tum'ah. Nigvu, if they are later dried off, Akapish is samach. Even though he's happy, the dew is now evaporated. The dew is not there. But he was happy that dew had fallen on there. Ain't a bichuyutan. then it doesn't classify it as, it isn't classified as being mushar lekabel tovah. My love, what's the situation here? Mishum zelo amrina, because we don't say like Rava came into igle milsa de hashve nechale miikara nami nechale. And we don't say, since now he's indicated that he is happy with the situation, therefore we can assume that he was always happy with the situation, meaning against Rava. So if that's the case, we see that Rava's principle does not extend over here, but also doesn't work, which is that just because someone indicates to you their intent or their feelings right now, that means prospectively we know how they feel. It does not mean that we know from prior to this point or retroactively what their feelings were. And so over here, where he indicates all of a sudden that he liked the fact that there was tal on there, doesn't mean that when the tal was actually on there, right, that it meant that he was happy, and therefore it can't be mekabel tumah. So that's against Rava, like the position of Abaye. It says shiny hotsum. Over here, it's a totally different case. What's the need, or what's the reason that something becomes mukhshar lekabel tumah? It's not simply because you're happy or not happy. We have a pasuk. The pasuk says dichtim ki itain. Right, so when it says ki itain in the pasuk, now the pasuk is spelled, the ktiv is itain. The kri, the way we read the pasuk, is yutan. It's not a malay, it doesn't have the vav there for the yutan. So the Gemara always says achi itain, right? Until you actually itain means you with intent place it on there. It has to be mashkim placed on the item with intent, purposefully, with kavanah. Yutan would be that the item or the mashkeh could end up on the item even passively. Right, kiten is an active form of the verb. Yutan is that it happened passively; it's still there. Iyoche reisha nami. If that is the case, then in the reisha too, even when he likes it, why should it work? If you have to put it on there with intent, right? Then and you have to actively place the liquid on there. Why should tal when you're happy in the beginning make a difference? It says atukarapapa deravapuk derami ktiv kiten vikrinen kiyutan. Okay, so how do we deal with this? Being a kiyutan to me a kiten, that you can have a passive. Right, the placement of the liquids on the produce or on the item to make it into mekabel mukshar lekabel tumah, but it has to be done in a manner that is doma, similar to kitain, an active form of placement. How do you do that? Ma'itain ledat af kiyutan nami ledat. It has to be that the placement, the passive placement, is similar to the active placement. Active placement is only done with intent and with knowledge. So too, the passive form has to be done with intent and knowledge. How do you create intent and knowledge by a passive form? Is when you see it there and you indicate your happiness, you are being pleased with that which has taken place. So because of that, it works. So in this case here, it has nothing to do with we assign the person's feelings now to the prior point or not. It has to do with how you can make something mukshar lekabel tumah. The only way to make something mukshar lekabel tumah is through dat, through intent and being pleased with the situation. You can be pleased with the situation. It can happen one of two ways. It can be itain, which is an active. You actively place it on there. Obviously, you're pleased if you're actively placing it on there. Or it can be when it's passively placed on there, like tau do, but in the sense that when you are pleased that with this happened passively, that's as if we assign like an active intent to that item. So that's how Rav will answer the question over here, having nothing to do with his previous intent, but has to do with the specific requirements of how you can make something mukshar, the kabel tuma. Right now, Mara continues, Tashma, Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yotzadak, how do we know the fact that a naveda that's been washed away by the river is totally mutar? This we saw earlier in the Gemara. Earlier in the Gemara, we saw that Rava agrees, right, in the beginning of the Sukkah of Yesh Lamidat, he said that everybody agrees, Bishat Panar, right, that there is Yeush, that everybody agrees with Yeush. How do you know this? That even Rava and Abai both agree in that case that there is Yeush. How do we know that? Yesteh, Bechein Taseh Lechamaro. That's lost from him and is found. Something that's lost to him, but other people have the ability to find it, or other people actually have it. Except it is this case, that's lost from everybody. So I mean that when is something classified as an avedah, that the Balim have some sort of right to claim back, or they make sure you actually don't have automatic yeush on, that's in a situation where they've lost it, but someone else actually has it. Because when they lost it and someone else has it, what do we have? We have a situation where they know, where they think that their simanim are going to help them get it back, because the other person is going to return it to them. But in a case where they don't have it, and no one else is going to have it, why? Because it's been washed down river, then there's yeush, there's automatic yeush. We say that the balim have no rights or ownership anymore, because that's not an aveda anymore, that's avud. I would say it's a difference between a beit das, something that's lost that other people have or possibly have in their possession, versus avud, which means like gone. And gone over here, that doesn't have a requirement of returning, and there's total yeyush over here. Right? So far, no issue. Abayin Rava, we said earlier in the Gemara, agreed to this. Right? Bisura, now the problem comes up. Bisura, dumya de hetera. Right? Now, the Isur has the same din as the hetera. Ma hetera, just like over here, the hetera is ben de'it basiman, ben de'it basiman, shara. Over here, it's irrelevant whether the object has a siman on it or does not have a siman on it. It's irrelevant. Why? Because once the river washes it down, it's yeyush, it's hefker, there's nothing to talk about. Afisura, so too it comes to the isura, bendit basiman, or bendelet basiman asura. Whether it has a siman or does not have a siman, it's going to be asur. So that's tiyufta derava, tiyufta. That works well according to Abaye, because Abaye says, it's irrelevant whether the object has a siman or doesn't have a siman. There's no yeyush until we know for certain that the balim had yeyush. According to Rava, something that does not have a siman on it is automatically yeyush, or there is automatic yeyush from the moment it's lost. But that's not the case over here, right? That's not the issue. The issue says here that there is no differentiation between siman and no siman. According to Rava, there is a distinction from the moment it's lost. There's a distinction. According to Abayu, there's a period of time where there is no distinction. What's that period of time? Between the time that it's lost and the time that the Balim find out about it. At that point in time, it's irrelevant whether it's a siman or no siman. That's how Abayu can explain this. So Rava is now left with the problem that he can't explain this, quote unquote, hekesh, right? There's equivalence between what is hefker, whether it has a siman or not a siman, whether it's what is asur, whether it has a siman or does not have a siman. Rava can't explain it. Obviously, Rava's going to have to say that he doesn't hold of this hekesh or this comparison between that which is hefker to isura. That's the only way Rava's going to answer that problem up. But the problem for Rava is, now that we have this statement, it's a tiyufta d'Rava. And because of that, v'hilkasa kavati v'deravaye v'yal kagam. The law here is like Abaye and Yal Kagam. Yal Kagam are the six times that, even though generally the law is like Rava, the six times that we pass them like Abaye or Yal Kagam, one of those is the Yud. The first one of Yal Kagam is Yeyu Shalom Idad. Yeyu Shalom Idad is one of those instances or indications where we pass them like Abaye. Now, Amalei Rav Akla, Braid Rava, the Ravashi. So he says, V'chim Akla Di Toto Rava. Now that we have a question in Rava, Hana Tamrei Dizika, Yechaklinano. These tamarim, these dates that blow off the tree, when the wind blows, they fall off the tree. How do we eat them? That everybody goes, when these dates fall off the tree, everybody goes, picks them up and eats them. How can we do this? We don't pass them like Rava. We don't pass them like Rava. That's Yeyu Shalom Idad. How are we picking these items up? Now, Rashi over here says he doesn't understand why what the question is at all. Why? Because according to Rava, we just saw in the previous, the end of yesterday's stop, we saw that Rava believes, Chazuto Mokhiach Alav. The Rava agrees that when a fruit falls by the tree, we assume that the balim can eat, that the likeness or the shape of a fruit is indicative of who the ownership, some sort of connection to this tree or to this owner. People are able to identify fruits based on their, I mean, today we probably can't do that, but others, you know, when you were a farmer or you're agrarian, right, you could be aware of the fact that this is the type of date that comes from this tree. And that's what Rava agreed to at the end of yesterday's daf. So, Chazuto Mokhiach Alav, even Rava agrees over here, you can't take it. So, if Rava agrees you can't take it, what does it matter that we don't pass him like a Rava and we pass him like a Bayit? Even if we pass him like Rava, this is still a problem. So, Rashi answers up and says, you're right. Even according to Rava, it's a problem. But he wants to say that he wanted to be Mokhiach the Harbos the Chomer Isur. He says, yeah, right, even according to Rava, it's Isur. But since we don't pass him like Rava, it's even worse. Because even though Rava even said, but we don't pass him like Rava and it's a Bayit, then for certain it's a problem. So I just indicate that this is a serious issue and we're still eating these dates. How could it be? That's where Rashi learns it. Tosa says no, that Rava is talking about different cases. So he says that Rava, when he said that the fruits can be identified, that's only when they fall right near the tree. Right? That idea, the word didn't qualify this yesterday, but Tosa is qualifying. When do we say Chazuto Mokhiach Alav? That's when it's right under the tree. Right, that the shape or the type or where it fell is indicative of where this fruit came from. But over here we're talking about a case where the wind blew it. So when the wind blew it, it's far away from the tree. There's no longer this automatic assumption that its identity can be known because of its shape or because of its type or where it fell because it's so far away from the tree. So in that case, Rava would say that's the case of Yeyush Shalom Idad, and there would be Stam Yeyush over there because it's far away from the tree. And therefore, that's why the Gemara is asking the question here. Okay, we don't pass it like Rabba, we pass it like Abaye. We pass it like Abaye, even when the wind blows it far away, that's a problem of Yerushalomitah. So again, Rashi indicates that the case here is a case that even Rabba would agree to. Tosa says, no, it's not a case that Rabba agreed to, because it's a case removed away. This might have to do with how they view Chazuto Mokhiyach Alav in the previous Gemara. Now, Rashi might say Chazuto Mokhiyach Alav has something to do with the fruit, identity, or the fruit itself. Tosus might say, yeah, it has to do with the fruit, but a fruit only in relation to the tree. It has to be something where the fruit can be identified in proximity to the tree. Once it's left proximity to the tree, we don't say Chazuto Mokhiyach Alav anymore. As Rashi might say that even when it's slightly further away, or the wind blows it away, it's Chazuto Mokhiyach Alav, or Rashi could say the wind just doesn't blow fruit so far from the tree. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and that's even when the wind's blowing. So that's why Rashi says that you can't make this distinction that Tosus is making over here. Right, either way, what's the answer? Amalei. Kevan the ikar shkatzim v'ramashim v'ramasim. Thank you. To ka'achle the hoop. Right. That since there are these creepy crawly things that creepy crawly creatures that eat the fruits. Mikari yeush miayush minayu. The bavim give up hope of ever getting them back. Meaning, because when these fruits fall, the automatic assumption is that they will be eaten by whatever is crawling on the ground. Therefore, from the moment it falls off, the Balim have Yayush. Anything that falls off, they have Yayush, they're mafkirit, because they know they have no chance of getting it back. Now, the question is this a general principle, or this is unique to Tamarim? So it seems from here, it seems from Rashi, others, that it's just a general principle. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that these perot, dates, are extremely sweet. And because they're so sweet, therefore, all these creepy crawly creatures go and eat them. That there's an automatic assumption that these other animals are going to go in and eat them because they're juicy and they're sweet. So because of that, that's why we say that the animals will eat them is stam hefker. On the other hand, other fruits, shar peirot, we would not say such a thing.
Oh, yes. What about
tainim? Right, tainim, we wouldn't necessarily, they're not as sweet as dates.
And so different. Didn't you swear to say that tainim were...
Chazuto mokhiyach alav, that, yes. But not that the shkatzim v'ramashim will eat them. It's a different problem. Over here, the problem is that the shkatzim v'ramashim are going to eat the fruits that are on the floor. When do we say that they're going to eat the fruits on the floor? That chazuto mokhiyach alav is a din in Rabba. That's Rabba's din. Over here, we're talking about, even according to Abaye, how do we explain the fact that we're eating these fruits? Say that because these animals come and eat them anyway. These creatures eat them. So since these creatures eat them, they're stam hefker. Stam hefker, the Rambam seems to indicate, is only when the fruit is so sweet that it's automatic. We can assume that they're going to eat it. Other fruits, it'll take them longer. They won't do it unless they really need to. I mean, there's less indication that they'll eat them. Other Rishonim don't seem to make this distinction that the Rambam makes. Say any fruit that falls on the floor, the worms, the other items, that the creatures that crawl on the ground, they're going to come and eat it. And now Gemara says, all right, that's great for people. But Yatmeh, Tulabanei Chilu, Nidu Mainit, right? If you have Yisomim that own an orchard, and their stuff falls off the tree, how can you assume that they're Stam Yehush here because they're Mafkir, anything that falls on the floor? Because they're not B'nai Mechila. They can't be Mochel on their ownership. You tell me, who can't be Mochel on their ownership? What are you going to say here? So this is an interesting answer of the Gemara. Amalei, Vagod Da'arai, Diyatmeh, Lo Machzikinim. Right, when it comes to the Stam, you're walking through fields on the ground, we don't assume that every field belongs to Yotam. Whereas Rashi says, that we go after our rove. Rove fields do not belong to Yotamim. Since rove fields do not belong to Yotamim, we can assume when it fell from someone who is a Ben Mechila. Since he's a Ben Mechila, when we pick it up, we assume that it's Stam Hefker. But what happens if we do know the field belongs to Yotamim? Or in other cases, Mai, what's it in there? Or Karkata Mai. So Karkata, according to Rashi, the question of Karkata is, what happens if he puts a bricks around the tree? He puts up some sort of fence around the tree. According to Rashi, it means that the Shkatzim V'Ramasim cannot enter the area. Since they can't enter the area, there's no Stam Yeush. So Karkata Mai. According to Rashi, that's the question here. The question is, one is, if we know it belongs to Yotamim, who can't be Mokel? Or we know that it's fenced in the tree. And the fruits that are going to fall in there are not going to be attacked by Shkatzim V'Ramasim. So he says, Amalei Asirinan. Asiran. Those are Asur. Because over there, they lack what the reason for the Hefker is. Either because what's the reason that you're Mafkir automatically? Is because the person is Mochel, because he believes when it falls off the tree, it's going to be eaten. So here you're lacking one of the two things. Either by the Yisomim, we know it's their field, they lack the Mechila, because you know that they can't be mafkir, they can't give up ownership. Or, in the case where he puts the fence around the tree, there are no shkatzim v'ramasim. No shkatzim v'ramasim, it's not automatic that he's mafkir, that he gives up ownership, because they're not necessarily going to come and eat the fruits. He protected that. So that if that's the case, he's not giving up ownership, then it's asur. Tosus learns, no. What is the, and it seems to be the Rambam also learns something like, as something similar, but Tosus says, when he puts the gether around the fruits, what is the din of the fruits that fall outside of the gether? What is the din? Not like Rashi. Rashi says that he puts the fence around, there are no shkatsim and ramasim, so therefore it's that the stuff that falls in, you can't say is hefker. So he says, no. He puts the fence in, and then the fruits fall outside the fence. What do we say now? Right? When they fall out to the sin is, because the Baalim showed, right, Shkulan Yiflu Takarilan, they thought they would all fall under the tree. So they may paint the fence this big. So now when something falls outside of that, right, what do we say? Do we say that that is Mutar because now the Shkatsim and Ramasim will get there? Or do we say no because he thought that all the fruits would fall in this area? Since they would fall in this area, he does not have a Stamdat, the Hafkir. The Rambam seems same thing. Rambam sees that when you fence in the area, it's Gilad Datov, it's Makpid. That shows that he has a Poga here. Right? The fact that he's Makpid, right, ought to mean that there is no Stam Hefker, there's no, we can't have any Stam Dat here. He put up a fence, means that he doesn't want to give up ownership so easily. He doesn't want to give up ownership so easily, then we can't make any assumptions about stuff that falls, whether it's, right, produce that falls, whether it's inside or outside.
Making the subject of it.
That's it. So Tosus, there will actually be big nachkamino between the way Rashi, Tosus, and the Rambam learn over here, right? Which is, what is the status of both the fruits that fall inside and outside the fence? And according to Rashi, everything is, Rashi, only things that fall inside the fence are asur. Because it's all only items or produce that are protected from shkatzim and ramatzim. And that's only the produce that's inside of the fence area. That which falls outside the fence area, that's not protected, that should be like any other produce. And Tosus believes not only that which falls inside of the fence is protected, but even that which falls outside of the fence is classified because, right, when it falls outside of the fence, he thought that everything would have fallen inside the fence. Now when it falls outside the fence, that's not what he thought would happen. If it's not what he thought he happened, he can't be mafkir. Rama makes an even stronger statement, which is that by putting up a fence, he's megaleh dato, right? Not that he assumes it all fall in, but the mere fact that he's megaleh dato, that he wants to keep it, we can't make any assumptions about his be mafkir or giving out his ownership over here. So that's the halakha over here. Now, Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? Mishnah says, Prichot b'shut rabbeim me'ayol shalom. Prichot that are found in Reshut HaRabim are here. Those are little piles of produce that are found in the Reshut HaRabim. He can take those. So Amar Rava, Bafilu Dover Sheish Bo Siman. Even if it has a Siman in it, you can take it. Why? Amar Kasava Rava, Siman Asvili Dareis, Lavi Siman. A Siman that will be trampled, right, will not exist anymore. So since it won't exist anymore, people do not trust or depend on that type of Siman. So if a person leaves produce in the Reshut HaRabim small pile, even though it has a Siman in it, When he remembers that it's lost, he's going to have Yeush. Why is he going to have Yeush? Number one, it's in the Reshut HaRabim. Number two is that even though it had a Siman in it, his assumption is that people would have trampled the Siman and it won't exist anymore. So he's not someach his da'at on that Siman. Rav Amar lo shanu el davar she'en bo Siman. What's true in our Mishnah is only when it didn't have a Siman in it. Aval davar she'esh bo Siman chayav lachriz. If it has a Siman in it, then he must announce it. He must indicate that he has found something. Alma kasava Rav. Rabbah must believe, Siman asur li dareis habi Siman. Siman that even though it's going to get trampled, the Baal HaBayit says maybe it hasn't been trampled yet. Maybe somebody picked it up before it was trampled, and therefore the Siman is still a good Siman. So Rabbah and Rabbah over here are going to disagree about the Dat Balim when there's a Siman that's going to eventually get trampled. Whether that Siman remains a Siman long enough that the Balim are not going to be Yayish, or do we say that there's automatic Yayush because the Balim assume that it is going to be trampled and not exist anymore. Some people don't say it about modifying or qualifying our Mishnah, but rather an independent statement. Siman asur li dareis, Rabbah Amar lo habi Siman. Siman that's going to be trampled in the future, Rabbah says it's not a Siman. Rabbah Amar habi Siman. The question is reliance, the Baalim's reliance on this Siman. According to Rabbah, they don't rely on the Siman because they know in the future it's going to get removed, they're not going to rely on it. Rabbah, on the other hand, says no. That even though in the future it will get trampled, but in the interim there is a Siman there, and therefore they may say there's a chance that somebody picked it up while the Siman was still intact, and they will therefore rely on that fact and not give up hope of getting it back. It's not. Then the Gemara says, oh, if they said it as an independent statement, what about our Mishnah? It's not. Krichut b'shut HaRabim, Marei Shalom. B'shut HaYachid, Notelu Machriz, Echidami. What's the case? Idelei b'hu Siman, if they don't have any siman on them, b'shuta yachid, my machriz. And b'shuta rabbi, we have kid, what is he being machriz? There's no siman, what is he going to tell them? How is he going to indicate some ownership? El alav, idbu siman. And it says that they have a siman. Biktani b'shuta rabbi, marei shalom. And in b'shuta rabbi, it says they belong to him. Alma, that's like rabbo. Siman asur the tereis, lovi siman. Right, that is a siman that is going to be trampled in the future is not a good siman. That's why, even though it has a siman, there's a difference between, or we're going to differentiate between Rishut Yachid and Rishut Rabim. In Rishut Yachid, the siman will last. And therefore, there is something to collect the Aveda with. In Rishut Rabim, since the siman will not persist, we assume that it's gone, and there's Yesh Balim, that's why you can take it when it's in the Rishut Rabim. That's exactly what Rabba says. Tiyuk to the Rabba, so that's a problem for Rabba. So it's interesting, before, we had a machlokas Abaye and Rabba. He said Tiyuk to the Rabba, and then we passed in the Lach like Abaye. Over here, it's going to be Tiyuk to the Rabba, and then we're going to pass in the Lach like Rabba. I'm not for Rabba. The Olam, the late Behu Siman. It's a case where we don't have Siman. The Ketar Amar, Rishut Yachid, my Makris. So what are you going to talk about? In Rishut Yachid, then what are you going to be Makris? If there's no Siman here, what are you going to tell the guy? It says Makris Makom. You're going to announce the place. You're going to use the place. Now that's a question. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what it means, Makris Makom. Just to finish up the Gemara, now we'll just explain the Machlokas between them. Rabba Amar Makom Lo Abi Siman. Rabba says that placement is not a Siman, right? And Rabba says that placement is a Siman. Ditmar Makom, a location. Rabba Amar Lo Abi Siman. Rabba Amar Abi Siman. Rabba says it is a Siman. Now here, there's Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. You know what Rashi says over here? What do you do? What does it mean, Makom Habisiman? So Rashi says, my Machlis, what do you announce? He says, that's what the Machlis is here, is what do you announce? If you found an object that doesn't have Siman in here, on it, when you go and announce it, what are you going to announce? I found this object. If you say, I found this object, you've given away all the information, then when the claimant comes, he can't tell you any new information. So he says, he can't tell you any new information, it's useless. So what do you announce? So according to Rashi, you announce, I found it in this location. I found something I found something in Tzvi's backyard. Right, so now if I found something in Tzvi, or Tzvi goes, he writes on the Bichemish list, he writes, I found something in my backyard. Now if somebody knows they lost something, they'll come and identify the object, knowing that they lost it in that vicinity. You know, they had visited your house, they were passing by, they lost an object, they'll say to Tzvi, listen, I lost this object. So what you announce is the location, and then the person comes and identifies the object. Right now, I would have thought otherwise, and that's what Tosfos says. So it says, no. You announce the object, and the person tells you the location. The Machlis says, I announce the object, and the Siman that he has to give is where you found it. The Tzvi says, I found a baseball. So then the person comes back and says, oh, was it in your backyard? That's the indication of the Siman. So Machlis, Rashi, and Tosfos over here are what you announce, and what is the Siman. According to Rashi, you announce the location, and the Siman is the Aveda itself, what the object was. Tosfos says, no. The announcement is the object, right? And the siman is the location. Right? The machlokes between them, what this makom means over here. Alright, now, as Mar says, based on their statement, this makom is Rabbi Rabba, Tashma. Pre-quote, Birshut Rabbim Marei Shalom. These piles that are found in Birshut Rabbim are there, it is. Right? So, Birshut Yachid, no telemachris. And Birshut Yachid, he goes out and announces it. Vehalumot. Now, alumot seem to be piles also, types of piles. We'll see what the difference between them is. Right, Ben Meshut Rabbim, Ben Meshut Yachid, no telemachris. Both Meshut Rabbim, Meshut Machris, they have to announce in both places. Rabba Eichem Etaritz, love Rabba Eichem Etaritz. How is Rabba and Rabba going to answer, explain this, Brisa? So Rabba Etaritz Latame, B'Siman. Rabba is going to explain this, Brisa, in case of Siman. Rabba Etaritz Latame, B'Makom. It's going to be about placement or location. Rabba Etaritz Latame, B'Siman, B'Tamed of Siman, here, Prichot, Meshut Rabbim, Mary Shalom. Meshum Demidrissa. Right? Why? Because what's Rabba's position? Rabba's position that is a siman, that's in Rishut Rabim, is not a siman. Why? Because it's going to eventually be trampled. Since it's going to be trampled, it's a meaningless siman, and the person gives up hope. If that's the case, then when Rishut Rabim, right, and it has a siman, hefker. Rishut Rishut Yachid, that have a siman, that siman's good. It's not hefker. What about Alumot? So therefore, it's midrash. Rishut Yachid, no tell him achris, because the little midrash said there's no trampling over there, the siman is good. Valumot, what about Lumot? Bemishutarim, Bemishutachin, no tell machris. Why? Given to Gabiyan. Alumot are higher piles than Krichot. If they're higher piles than Krichot, they're not going to get trampled. If they're not going to get trampled, the Siman will be sustained. If the Siman is going to persist, then there is no Yeush automatically. Elo Mitrasa. Rabba Metaritz Kutame, Rabba explains according to his reason. Mamakom, Right? About makom. Why? Prichut b'shut Rabbi Maria Shlo. The min shatva. The case in b'shut Rabbi the prichut is why? Because even without a siman, the items are going to be kicked around. B'shut Rabbi, nothing stays in the same place, so it's going to be moved around. So makom no longer becomes a siman because location is not necessarily the location where it was lost because it's been moved. B'shut Yachid chayav lachris because lo min shatva. Doesn't get pushed around. It doesn't get pushed around. B'shut Yachid, then mistama where you picked it up is where it was lost. Came into Yakire because they're heavier. Since they're bigger piles and they're heavier, they won't be moved around. Their location will not be moved because they're heavier. If they're heavier, then their location, whether it's Meshut Rabim or Meshut Yachid, is probably or likely the location where they were lost. And therefore, Vakom again becomes a siman. Again, between Rashi and Tosfot, right, that machlokus will persist over here, which is, what is the siman here? Is the siman the location, or is the siman of Veda itself that is found in that location? So each one will identify according to their reasoning. We'll stop over here.